Okay, let's get into Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Aleph, as we get into the story of David and Bathsheba. This is really the next section of the Sefer. The first 10 Prakim are really one topic, David HaMelech's rising to fame and taking over for Shaul and everything he does along the way, and how he takes care of Shaul's grandson, and how he takes all related issues, as we saw in the last parak, even what he does as he is king. But now really starts the second half of the parak. The next 14 prakim are all about David and Bathsheba and the fallout from what happens with David and Bathsheba. So let's see what there is to say. Again, this is obviously a major discussion, and we'll try to squeeze in into the time what we can. So David, it describes, sends out Yoav and his servants to war with Ammon. At the last parak, they were fighting Ammon and Aram. It's unclear whether the war took a very long time or just they took a break till the seasons and the weather got better. But David did not go out to battle. David was in Yerushalayim. And the pasuk describes that he went up to his rooftop and he looked out from his gag, and he sees a beautiful woman a couple of houses down, and he asks people, you know, who is that? And they say, oh, it's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah Hachiti. And the pasuk says that David sent for her, took her, lived with her, and miskadeshes mitumasa, she was not in Nida at the time, which makes it seem like, well, was she an Ashes Ish? Doesn't say that. It sounds like that was the only problem. And she becomes pregnant from that Maisabiyah. David then, seemingly trying to cover up what he did, he sends to Yoav, bring Uriah back. He brings Uriah back and he says, Uriah, you're a great soldier. You know, go home for a little while. Have some time at home. Uriah says, no, I'm not going home. How can I go home? The rest of Am Yisrael is on the battlefield. I'm not going home. David gives him to drink and asks him to go home. And he refuses. He refuses the king. David, as we'll see, assumed at this point that he could be considered a Morad B'Malchus. The king asked you to do something and you refused. So the next day, David sends Uriah back to the battlefield and he gives a message to Yoav, put him in the front of the battlefield. Put him in the front, which means he was giving him a death sentence. And that's exactly what Yoav does. Yoav sends a message back to David that mission has been completed, and in that way, he is realizes that he is free to marry her, and he goes and he sends for her. After she finishes mourning for her husband, she goes and becomes the wife of David. Fine, and the end of the parak says, Vayera hadavar asher asa David b'nei Hashem. Hashem was very upset at what happened in this whole discussion. Okay, now let's get to the details of what we are discussing. And again, Yosimimashe Kasuv. There's a lot more that we're not going to get to be able to say today, but at least to whet our appetites to some of the ideas. Just as by way of introduction to this whole story, the Mishmas Asav quotes a story about Reb Chaim. Somebody quoted in the Torah Chaim that somebody was once being mishtativ within a simcha. There was somebody that could play an instrument in an unbelievable way. And when Reb Chaim heard him, and Reb Chaim said, play again. And afterwards he said, because you gave me such hanah from this instrument, I want to give you a bracha. He says, what bracha do you want? So the menagin says, bless me that I'm able to be a musician in the makhela of David HaMelech. When Reb Chaim heard that, his whole body started shaking and said, maybe if you're 100 kilometers away from him, because within 100 kilometers of David HaMelech, you're going to burn up from the Kedusha of David HaMelech. And there are many similar stories of the unbelievable Kedusha of David HaMelech. We have to realize he's one of the Ushpizin, David HaMelech, Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. He is unique in the world of biblical figures. But we also have to recognize that the Navi formulates this Perek in terms of a sin. In terms of a sin, the Gemara does say in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Nuvav, in the context of a couple of biblical figures, Kol HaOmer David Chata Eino El HaToeh. Right? If somebody says that he really sinned, right? He's making a mistake. Why? Well, why didn't he sin? What do you mean? It sounds like he sinned. So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos and Masechet Gittin that the minhag was, the custom was, for every soldier in David's army, he used to write a get before he went out to army. And what did the get say? So that's a machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos. Ksubis dav yudam abeis. Rashi says that it was a get al tnai. That if the person dies in battle, or maybe even doesn't come back, that it'll be get l'mafreya, so she doesn't become an aguna, and she doesn't have anything to worry about. Shem yamas ba'mochama, Rashi says, yeh get me hayom ksivaso, and may Uriah died, David made sure he died, and therefore it comes out that David HaMelech did not live with an Ashes Ish because she was already divorced. Tosfos doesn't like that pshat that it was a get al tnai. Tosfos says, no, it was a full divorce. It was a full divorce at the original time. Either way, that is the line in the Gemara, Kala Yotzi L'Mechemes Beis David, Get Krisis Kosev L'Ishto, as is recorded here also in Rashi on Pasuk Tezayin, the Pasuk Tezvav. So either way, so technically there was no chet. But it's still written as a chet, because when you're talking about David HaMelech, you know, it was still what we would call pastish. It wasn't appropriate, especially if you're the leader. You know, it's not something that one can acknowledge. So what exactly was the chet? If, you know, and the rest of the Sefer, he was punished for this chet, but now we're saying it wasn't even a chet. So there are a couple of ideas. The Zohar writes, and the Be'er Moshe expands on this, that really David saw Baruch Kadsho, that he was supposed to be with this woman, and ultimately lead to Melech HaMashiach, right? This was the mother of Shlomo, and the whole lineage, right? Similar to like Loden, Yehuda and Tamar. Tamar had that Ruach HaKodesh, that she was supposed to have the progenitor of Malchus Beis David. So to hear, it was just that David jumped the gun. David went quickly. The Gemara says in the Sanhedrin Kuf Zayin, Re'uya Haisa Basheva Basaliyam LeDavid Mishesis Yimei Bracious. From Haisa Bracious, it was always the plan. It was just that David went too quickly. V'al de David Dachik Shaita Kami Kutshabrichu L'Katalor Yolam Eved Hachi. Avish Kameh. The Pasuk says at the end of our Perek that Hashem was upset. So obviously something was done wrong, but it was that he jumped the gun. V'yanish Le'le David Dachkutshabrichu Baal Asava Le'le David L'Kaimel Le'malchusa Kadisha Yilah. Right, it wasn't Bakat Toev Ledi De Toev. He acted based on a certain level of Taiva. But it was too early, as many sins that we have in Tanakh, that it was jumping the gun too early. That was the Chet Egel, that was Shaul HaMelech, leaving and giving the Karbanos before Shmuel got there. According to some Mepharshim, that's also what Adam Arishon, Adam would have been able to eat from the tree of the Eitz Hadas if he would have waited till Shabbos, but he didn't. But that's the Zohar, that really he had Baruch HaKodesh, he was supposed to be with this woman, right? He saw her, the Pasuk says, and he had that Ruach HaKodesh, but obviously it wasn't meant to be yet. The Abar Benel doesn't spare any words. He says, yes, it's true that Chazal tried to cover it up, but he thinks there were five major sins here, says the Abar Benel. And we'll read through the Psukim. He says, one sin is that he was with an Eishes Ish, even though technically she wasn't. Number two, that he tried to get Uriah, he tried to cover it up. Number two sin. Number three, that he sent Uriah out to the battlefield. Tried to kill him. And again, each of these are explained by Chazal, Morit B'Malchus. Number four, the way that he killed Uriah. And number five, that right after she got up from Avelis, he married her. All of those, says the Abar Benel, are elements that are not fitting for David HaMelech. But we keep in mind, just two final points by way of introduction, Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, who writes in Parshas Toldos, the godless of the Torah and our Torah is that we don't hide faults of our great leaders. And that's what makes them great leaders, right? We do not believe in the infallibility of the rabbinate, right? Maybe other religions do, that the Pope can never sin. But we don't believe in that. The Rav Hirsch writes in Perachav Zion in Toldos, we follow the opinion of our sages and do not consider it our task to be apologists for our great men and women. Just as the Word of God, the Torah itself never refrains from informing us of their errors and weaknesses. The godless was that he did tshuva. The godless was that he overcame and was able to become David HaMelech, the power that Yehuda put into him already. From Tzadka Mimeni, David HaMelech had that power as well. And David never forgot his sin. Right, as we'll see in the next parak. But Tehillim, parak Nun Aleph, the whole parak is David has it in front of him. His sin, Tamid, right, David never forgot his sin. After he describes in the parak Nun Aleph, we'll get to this again also next parak. David says, asking for forgiveness over and over again. He says, my sin is always going to be in front of me, and that's the way it should be. That's the ultimate in terms of tshuva. Here's the pasuk I was looking for. Keep shai ani eda v'chatasi negdi tamid. Perek Nun Aleph, Pasuk Hey, in Tehillim, his sin is always in front of him. Okay, so now let's get to some of the details of the story. Va'ilat Shuvas Hashana, it was a year later, or at a time when the weather was nice, Le'isesa HaMalachim, when the kings go out, Va'yishlach David, David says Yoav and his servants, and they go out to fight Ammon, Va'David Yoshev Yerushalayim. And David is sitting in Yerushalayim. The Malbim says that was part of the problem. Why wasn't he out fighting with the rest of Am Yisrael? Kind of like Avera Goreres Avera, right? You are not involved in something productive. Look what it leads to. Yirmo, says the Malbim, Sha'al Yedesha Yashav HaMelech Bebeso, V'lo Halach Ba'atzmo, Lilchom L'chamos Hashem, Ba'mai Sezuli Yado. If he's not involved, U'lubal Tomarshu Yagever Afei Yadayim, and if you want to say, he was tired from an earlier battle, that's why he didn't go. No, it says it was a year later. And if you think the weather was bad, it says it was a time the kings go out, the weather wasn't bad. And if it goes through every phrase the Malbim says is a preventative phrase of David having any excuses. There was no excuse. You know, one might say also what the Bali Musar often say, life is a vacuum. If I don't fill it with good things, with positive things, then bad things are going to get involved. David wasn't involved here. He wasn't involved with saving Klal Yisrael for the moment. And therefore, look what happened at the end. We know at the end of David's life, Shabbos Daf Lamed, he didn't stop learning for a second. So the Malach HaMavis couldn't get to him. But, you know, at this point, he was home. He wasn't where he should have been, according to the Malbim. And therefore, he was led to sin. Vayila Esa Erev Pasuk Beis. It was towards evening time. Vayakam David Me'al Mishkavo. David got up from his bed. And he went. Vayisalech Al Gag Beis HaMelech. He went on to the Gag. It was evening time. He got up. Chazal pick up on this. What did he do here? He was sleeping during the day. He was going to be up during the night. So what do you mean? He got up. So he's sleeping during the day. That's already a problem. Vayar, and what happened? Vayar Isha Rochetzes Alayim Alagag. He sees a woman that's washing. Vayar Isha Tovas Mar Emod. What? She was washing in public? She was taking a shower in public? Obviously not. So what is going on here? So the Gemara tells us that she was covered, but then she got uncovered as part of something that was happening to David. The Gemara tells us it's in Sanhedrin Kuv Zayin. Fascinating Gemara. Amar of Yehuda Marav. La'olam al yavi adam atzmo lidei nisayon. A person should never try to put himself into a situation of challenge, of nisayon. Shehare David melech Yisrael hevi atzmo lidei nisayon. V'nichshal. Because David brought himself into a situation of nisayon and he faltered. What did he say? Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. David asked Hashem. Mipnei ma omrim elokei Avraham, elokei Yitzchak, elokei Yaakov. Vein omrim elokei David. It's not fair. I want to be Yishmona Esrei. Why does every Jew say, okay, Avram Yisrael Yaakov, I want to be an Av? So Hashem says, Amar inhu minsuli va'at lo minsisli. They were tested, but you weren't tested. Amar lefan of David says the tragic word, so to speak. Rebona shalolam bichanani v'nasani. Test me too. Test me too. We dab it every morning. Based on this Gemara, it didn't work out well. Hashem says, okay, I'll test you with something that I'm making it even easier. I'm going to tell you which area of halacha I'm going to test you in. Arayos. I'm going to test you in Arayos. So, he tells David. Oh, boy, what happens then? Vahila Esar, the Gemara quotes our pasuk. David gets up from his bed. What do you mean he gets up from his bed? Hafach mishkavo shalayla mishkavo shayom. He slept during the day. Why? So he could have more koach at night. For who he was going to be with, for his wives. V'nisalma imenu, and he forgot the idea of Ever Katan Ishba Adam Masbio Ra'ev Marivo Saveya. He forgot there's supposed to be limitations, meaning he wasn't fulfilling that. And it says that he saw her washing. What happened? She was really behind a curtain. She was taking a shower, but she was behind a curtain. They didn't have indoor plumbing then, so where do you take a shower? The backyard. What was the backyard in those days? The roof. But she put up a curtain. But the Satan dressed up like a bird. David shot an arrow at the bird, and the bird went to the curtain and cut a hole in the curtain. She was revealed, and David says, who is that? He all of a sudden had a taiva that he wanted to be with her, or according to the other pshat, he had Ruach HaKodesh, that this was the woman that he was supposed to be with. Either way, that's how she became revealed. Back to the good pasuk. Vayishlach David Yirush Leisha. He says, who is this? Vayomer. He says, is this Bathsheba? Question, did he know about it? And he was just asking, is she still married? Where's her husband? Halo zos Bathsheba Bathsela Meishas Uriah Hachiti. Right, is this the one? Right, he's wondering. And they say, yeah, that's the one. Is the Gemara and Megillah Darshans on Daf Yudalad. That earlier, when David HaMelech, if you remember back in Shmuel Aleph, went and he was going to take revenge from Naval, right? The one who didn't give him proper respect when he sent certain messengers, and he refused, and he went, he was going to kill him, so her husband Abigail came to save the day. And Abigail prevented David from killing Nabal, who had a heart attack a couple of days later anyway. But there the Gemara darshins from a one specific word. The Gemara says, in Shmuel Aleph Perachav Hei, Pasik Lamed Aleph, she says to David, don't let this be a stumbling block for you. Velotia Zos L'chalapuka. Don't kill him. Don't let this be a blemish. The word Zos is used there. So I saw one of the Mefarshim connected to the word Zos here. Hale Zos Batsheva. Right? Zos, the same word. So this is Batsheva Batsalam, the Zos of Abigail connecting to the Zos here. The Mishmah Zosav points out that connection. So what did he do? David takes her and is with her. Vayishkav Imah, he lies with her. Again, we said, retroactively, she wasn't an Ashes Ish, technically. V'imis Kamedeshes Mitumasa. And the Pasuk says, she was not Anida. She was Niskadeshes from Tumasa. That's also what pushes Chazal to say she wasn't really married. What, the Pasuk's telling you she wasn't Anida, but if she was an Ashes Ish, it's still an Issa Daraisa with Isser Misa. So maybe that's how Chazal understood it. Because the Pasuk's telling you she wasn't Asura, really. She wasn't Anida. And she must not have been an Ashes Ish somehow also. Vatashava Beis, and she goes home. Vatara Isha Vatishla Vatagelo David, and she goes home, and then she sends a message to David. I am pregnant from you. So again, David could have denied it. David is similar, reminiscent of Tamar sending to Yehuda. I'm pregnant. And the one, you're the one. So David admits it right here too. But first he tries to cover it up. He sends to Yoav and says, send me Uriah from the battlefield. Uriah comes to David. And what happens? Vayava Uriah love, Vayishal David, Lishlom Yoav, Lishlom Aam, how you doing? How's everything on the battlefield? And David says, Reid Lebeischa, you know, go home. Right, Rashi says, Shalim Miskavin Shiyishkav Mishto. He wants him to be with his wife. V'yei Sover, Shemimen, Humu Baris. They weren't going to do any DNA testing, right, in those days. So, go home, Barach Hatzra Glecha, right, euphemistically, go wash your legs, be with your wife. And V'yei Uriah Mibes HaMelech, Uriah goes and he does not. He does not go. The Malbim points out an amazing thought about this. David told him to go home. Meaning, if he would have stayed home and listened to David, then what would happen retroactively? Then Mimela, David, would have been with a married woman. The only time, according to Rashi, let's say, that the get kicks in is only if he dies in battle or doesn't come back. Sending him home for good, which maybe that's what it sounded like, would mean that David violated Israel's ish. The Malbim says David was ready to violate for the good of the klal. What kind of chil Hashem would have been caused if everybody found out about what happened? David realizes that and says, this is already part of his tshuva process. You know, it's better for me to have violated the sin than to have the terrible chil Hashem that would come out if he wouldn't impregnate his wife, it wouldn't look like that, and everybody would be pointing fingers at me. As it was, it was somewhat of a chal Hashem when people found out. But he was ready to take that sacrifice. So Uriah goes out, he does not listen to David, and he sleeps in Pesach Beis HaMelech. He does not go home. V'yagidu lo David le'mar lo yard Uriah al-Beis. It was told to David, he didn't go home. David again says, Mider atabo, Miderach le'yarat al-Beisecha. Right, Pasuk Yud, why don't you go home? Uriah says, what are you talking about? Ha'aron v'yisrael v'yehuda, all the Jews are fighting in battle. Adoni Yoav Adoni, everybody's on the battlefield. I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife and be home? I can't do that. So on the surface, he sounds like a tzaddik. Sounds like an amazing person. But Chazal say that for one of two reasons, he was a Morid B'Malchus. Number one, I'm very happy that emotionally, you know, you want to go back to the battlefield. But if Malchei Yisrael tell you to do something, you have to listen. Doesn't matter if he feels that you have to do it, number one. And number two, others say, Rashi discusses this in Kiddushin and in Shabbos, that maybe in Pasuk Yud Aleph, when he was talking to David, he calls somebody else my master other than David. He says, Adoni Yoav, and my master Yoav. If you're talking to David, you can't call somebody else a master. That is a reflection of Morid B'Malchus. And that's where the king has elastic authority, and he was able to use his authority. The Musar and Avim suggests, and if this is true, then it's even a little different understanding, maybe Uriah found out. Maybe Uriah realized what was going on, and he dafka didn't want to go back. Because he wanted to embarrass David. you did this, so this is part of your busha. And he's just saying on the outside, how could I go back? Somewhat in a fake way. Again, you read the psukim, you don't get that sense. But the fact that David killed him, right, and the Chazal assumed that he was a Morad B'Malchus, maybe that's also was part of it. Very creative idea that if he knew about it, maybe that's why he, David HaMelech also, another reason why he was Chayav Misa. Yurian is Vadalo Mimashahu, Kiba David al Batsheva Ishtav, Hihinis Abra Mimenu. And Ratsa she is Galahadavar Barabim, Viasmar Mer Ha'amala, Vyimraduba, but David Hirkish Badavar, and therefore he was a Morad B'Malchus. Again, David might have been wrong, but it's not anyone's job, any citizen's job, to embarrass the king in that way. Rather, Rambam goes through in Hilchos Malachim, all the laws of Morad B'Malchus and his rights. So what happens? David says to Uriah, "Okay, I'm going to send you back." He sends a message to Yoav, put him on the front of the battlefield. This will be important for later. Yoav seems to have secret information from David that nobody else knows, but Yoav had to know it. So he sends him to the battlefield, and Yoav goes and sends him to the front. Vayamas gamur yachiti, and he goes up to the wall, and he is killed by the enemy. Vayitzavat ha-malach, Yoav then sends a messenger back. Tell David, he doesn't want anybody to know, but he says, tell David the battles, a lot of people have been killed, we got too close to the war, and also, by the way, Uriah has been killed as well. We got a little too close, and he cross-references a story from Sefer Shoftim. He says, remember Avimelech got too close, and a woman threw a stone on his head, a piece of a mill, and he got killed, and here we got too close to the wall, and Uriah was also killed. He sends back, and David finds out that Uriah has been killed. David sends back to the messenger, thank you, but go back to the battlefield, be strong, it's okay, we're going to win. But the parak ends off by saying, Vatishma Ishas Uriah, Kimes Uriah, the wife of Uriah hears that Uriah died, doesn't even call her by her name now, but is emphasizing that it's Ishas Uriah. The wife of Uriah hears that Uriah, her husband, has died, right, twice in the same pasuk. The wife of Uriah heard that her husband, Uriah, has been killed. Vatispod al Baila. And she's maspid, and she's very upset. Vayavar ha'evel. The evel finishes. Well, she's really sitting shiva. According to Chazal, they weren't really married anymore. It's supposed to be like an emotional avelus. Vayishlach David, vayasval beso. David takes her. No communication yet in these psukim between David and Batsheva. It doesn't say anything about it. But maybe did Batsheva know that she was destined to be with the king? Vatilo le'isha, vatela lo bein. And it says they even had a child. Doesn't say anything about this child yet. Vayera hadavar asher asa David be'enei Hashem. And Hashem was very upset at David HaMelech at this juncture. This is the beginning of the next stage of David HaMelech's life. Many prakim in Tehillim that talk about David's sin. This is it. Again, to contrast, he didn't lose the Malchus for this. It wasn't like Shaul who lost the Malchus, as we emphasize when we discuss Shmuel Aleph, because this was a personal problem. This was a personal chait of Taiva. Shaul's sin, Sefer HaIkarim expands upon this, Shaul's sin had to do with his being the Melech. He wasn't a good king because he kept giving in to the Am. David was a great king, but he had a problem here, and he was punished for it. He was punished very seriously for it, but he did not lose the Malchus for it. David HaMelech Yisrael, Chai V'Kaya. Okay, we'll have to stop here. As we continue in this very exciting Sefer of Shmuel Beis, we continue next time with the second half of this, and that is the tshuva that David HaMelech did. We'll stop here.